2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the rainy but sultry suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. I received an email from a listener, and I must agree with him. He represents a number of other people who have made comments that are very similar. Let me read you what his email said. I was shocked and dismayed over the attack on Dr. Carley last Friday by this pompous, arrogant scumbag calling himself Richard from Washington, who I think should be banned from calling into your program with his tiresome, boring tirades and his repugnant intrusions. I have never understood why you have tolerated this highly disruptive egomaniac. He only calls in to bully you and proclaim how wonderful and knowledgeable he is. I hope you have the willingness to do something about this revolting jerk, Richard, from Washington. Unquote. I tried to give everyone, even obnoxious Psyonym, the benefit of the doubt. And I believe that I have done that with Richard. But there are limits even to my patience. It is one thing for Richard to attack me, but to viciously attack a guest is the last straw. I do not feel the least bit reticent in making this very public announcement in that Richard, which is not his real name, has made his views very public. So, for anyone besides Richard from Washington, you may call in with your questions or comments at 800-313-9443. Dick, as far as my program is concerned, lose the RBN phone number. Now, regarding RBN commercials, there are hundreds of TV commercials promoting antidepressants, feminine hygiene products, textured condoms, Viagra, fluoride toothpaste, and bottled water, dangerous energy drinks, aspartame-filled soda, sleep aids, psychiatric drugs, vaccines for shingles, whooping cough, the HPV virus, and many, many other products associated with programs that promote violence, crime, and sex. How do people handle that? They do the rational thing. They ignore the commercial and don't buy the product. What a novel idea. RBN has a diverse audience. If a particular commercial does not interest you, then ignore it. Support the products that you use and disregard the ones that do not appeal to you. No one compels the RBN audience to listen to every single commercial. There is no RBN commercial police. This is not 1984, and the listeners are not Winston Smith dupes. It is RBN, whose listeners are astute and bright enough to arrive at their own conclusions about most issues. Okay, we are going to take a commercial break, one that you are invited to listen to, but if not, oh well, we'll be right back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. That's B-E-R-G. His website is NaziGassings.com. Welcome to the program, Fritz.
Hello, Diana. It's nice to be here again. It's nice to hear
yes.
you.
Well, thank you so much. First, let's clarify something, because I'm going to have somebody that is going to be emailing me and claiming that you are Jewish. So let's put that thing to rest immediately. Are you Jewish?
No, I'm not. And I'm curious why he thinks I'm Jewish.
I don't know. Maybe for the same reason that he possibly thinks that John Kaminski is Jewish. John is Polish. First of all, the Jewish people did not ever have last names until fairly recently. They adopted many of the German names. There were a lot of people, a lot of Jews in Germany, and at least 10% of the Polish population was Jewish. And so they adopted local names. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that, because I know that I am going to get email about it.
Well, let me add one thing here. My last name is Berg, B-E-R-G, and some people think, as apparently Mr. Kaminski thinks, that
Fritz, John never made that statement.
Okay, well,
the same person that claims that you are Jewish also claims that John Kaminski is Jewish.
Okay.
Neither of you are Jewish. John Kaminski is Polish, and you are German.
Okay.
Don't miss,
I don't want to misunderstand the connection there. But the name Berg is very common in Sweden and in Norway and even Denmark. My ancestors on my father's side, going back more than 300 years, came from Sweden with Gustav Adolf and his army of defenders of the Lutheran faith. And Some of them settled in northern Germany, and that is the origin of my last name, as far as I know. I could be wrong, but no one, and absolutely no one has ever presented any reason for me to believe anything but that.
You're not going to the synagogue regularly or anything like that?
I am not even circumcised.
Okay, thank you for sharing that.
Well, okay. I'm not, and I think circumcised.
Well, okay, we accept the fact that you're not Jewish.
Well, I can prove it. I mean, if you're...
No, I don't want you to prove it, Fritz.
Okay. Yeah, this is not a video program.
oh my goodness. Okay, let's continue your website, NaziGassings.com. And what is your occupational background to give credibility to what you're going to be talking about?
I'm an engineer by education. I received my degree in mining engineering from Columbia University in 1965. And since then, since graduation, I've worked as basically a mechanical engineer in environmental work, as well as in design of chemical plants and even slaughterhouses for chickens and things like that. So I have a variety of experiences professionally, but I have no problem calling myself an engineer.
Okay. All righty. When did you first question the Holocaust?
In 1974. That's when someone handed me a little pamphlet, 28 pages in size, called Did 6 Million Really Die? And that changed my life. Until that time, I believed in the Holocaust hoax as much as probably almost anyone. I never questioned it. But that pamphlet changed my life. It made me ask questions. I discovered some mistakes in the pamphlet, but by and large, that pamphlet presented a very powerful case against the prevailing mythology about the supposed Jewish suffering under the Nazis during World War II.
Right. And speaking of things that people have read that affected their what they believe, when I was very young, I read a book. It was called, what was it called? Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness. And I found it recently, and this book was probably written first in 1961. And I found it recently on Kindle. There's some kind of strange noises here. Are you fiddling around with your mic?
I moved my head to get closer
okay.
to my own. I have a copy of Auschwitz by Dr. Miklos Naisley in front of me here. So
yes.
If you wanna...
So anyway, this past week in preparation for our program today, I have been going through that book, fact-checking. And I hadn't read it. I just briefly glanced at it when I first got it from Kindle. And so this week, I'm about halfway through it, and I've been fact-checking, and they're talking about killing 12,000 people, and the next day, they're nothing but ashes, and they are going to haul them to the river and dump them in the river. I can't remember which river. I've gotten sidetracked with your comments and whatnot, but anyway, I thought 12,000 people. Okay, so they're going to gas 12,000 people, and they're going to cremate 12,000 people, all within a 24-hour period of time, and then haul the ashes away. And some of the preposterous remarks, the statements that he makes in this book, are just sheer ludicrous. Because I mean, scientifically, it just could not happen. You just can't do that. I mean, it takes what, 8 hours to cremate one body, but they are going to eliminate 12,000, cremate 12,000. But when I was a kid, I didn't question any of that stuff. Are you there? What happened to Fritz?
Okay, wait a minute. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's like that commercial. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Well, what happens is that people recognize in most cases that there is some gross exaggeration, some lying going on in all of these accounts, but they do a kind of dollar cost averaging and say, well, even if this or that was absolutely wildly exaggerated or totally untrue, still that other part of the story rings true, and therefore the Holocaust must have happened. And that is the power of these lies. Basically, the Holocaust story is a pack of Jewish lies that have been institutionalized by the victors after World War II. I know the Niazli book. I can't recall the passage that you're talking about, but certainly the idea that you could cremate 12,000 people in one day in a relatively limited crematory arrangement is an absolute lie. It's absolute bunk, but it's the kind of stuff that goes on, and it's promoted by the Polish government that controls Auschwitz. So, you know, you have powerful forces behind this new religion, and that's what I call Holocaust belief. Holocaust belief is a new kind of religion that has some great moral lesson in it, which is a ridiculous and obscene racist lesson. It basically, the lesson is that we should respect the Jews above and beyond all other people because they suffered so much at the hands of all other people. And it's bunk. And it's a terrible hoax because it has horrific consequences for tens or hundreds of millions of people around the world, especially in the Middle East today, but in Germany and in Europe as well. Did I lose you? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself to get a drink of water.
Okay.
The other thing that is very, very obvious in the second rereading of this book, after, you know, a number of years, is the writing style. There are no dates in this book. There are no dates, times, nothing that you can verify. He also mentions a few doctors. He says, oh, this doctor was prominent in this particular area and this other doctor, but no first names, just very, very, very vague. But when he talks about this 12,000, I mean, you can tell in the way that it is written that he is making this up. Let me just read this one little paragraph. The closing of all barracks was ordered early in the morning. Several hundred SS soldiers surrounded the Czech area and ordered the inmates to assemble. Their cries of terror as they were loaded into the waiting vans were terrible to hear, for after 2 years in the KZ, which is what they called Auschwitz, they no longer had any illusions about what lay in store for them. Liquidation Day found some 12,000 prisoners left in the Czech camp. From among that number, 1,500 able-bodied men and women were chosen, along with 8 physicians. The rest were sent to number 2 and number 3 crematoriums. On the following day, the Czech camp was silent and deserted. I saw a truck loaded with ashes leave the crematorium and head towards the Vistula, unquote. Okay, what date was this? And, I mean, doesn't it sound like, well, it is a novel. When he wrote this, it was written as a novel. And they reissued the book and didn't really imply that it was a novel or revealed the fact that it was actually a novel. All righty, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com, and we were just talking about this book called Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness Testimony, or something to that effect. And in that paragraph that I read, it just talks about 12,000 prisoners going straight to the crematorium. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they just burned them alive? Does it mean that they somehow found time to gas the 12,000 before they put them in the crematorium? But it all happened the very next day that they were all gone.
It's obviously an absurd story, but let me give you something that I think is very important from my point of view. On page 46 of the paperback version, which is the most popular version, with a foreword by that great psychiatrist, Dr. Bruno Bettelheim, who was actually a fraud himself for all kinds of other reasons. Anyway, on page 46, the bodies are described after one of these supposed mass gassings. And here I'm reading the text. Their bodies, which were covered with scratches and bruises from the struggle which had set them against each other, were often interlaced. Blood oozed from their noses and mouths. Their faces, bloated and blue, were so deformed as to be almost unrecognizable. Now, what's very interesting for me is the color he's giving here, blue. He says their faces bloated and blue. There is no mention of any other color of the corpses, blue. And in many of these so-called descriptions of gassing victims, the color that's mentioned is blue. In other cases, the color is nondescript, or in only one case is the color supposedly red. The fact is, if you kill people with cyanide gas or with carbon monoxide, in nearly all cases, the corpses appear blue, red. And it's a bright cherry red in the case of carbon monoxide poisonings, which supposedly were used to kill about 2 million Jews. It's a darker red in the case of cyanide poisoning. Corpses do not turn blue anywhere from cyanide poisoning. That is pure rubbish. And for my purposes, that claim that the corpses were blue or colorless or even green is evidence of outright lying on the part of the so-called witnesses. This is one of the most important things we have as evidence against the Holocaust hoax, the apparent color of the corpses after these supposed mass murders. If you would have had mass killings with carbon monoxide, certainly in no time at all, many of the corpses would have been not just a little bit reddish, like after a sunburn, they would have been bright cherry red. That is a standard feature of all carbon monoxide poisonings or fatal poisonings ever since carbon monoxide was a big killer. And it's been a killer for a long time, especially with the introduction of the automobile. So the evidence that these eyewitness accounts are in fact lies is enormously strong. It's very, very clear that nearly everything about these alleged gassings is a lie.
Now, wasn't there one of the doctors associated with the U.S. Military, didn't he go in and perform about 100 autopsies and discovered that not one of them had...
He did more than 1,000, according to his own account. That was okay. Dr. Charles P. Larson, who was let's see if I have the story on my website, which I hope people look at. He was a colonel in the United States Army, and he was assigned by the United States Army War Crimes Branch to perform autopsies in Dachau and in other camps to come up with proof that at least one person somewhere had been killed with poison gas or poison of some sort or other. And he came up with no forensic medical evidence that even one person was ever killed with poison gas or poison of any sort by the Germans. Oddly enough, he still believed in the gassing story. Many years after the war, he wrote a book called Crime Doctor, which is a very worthwhile book to get. It's inexpensive, but you can get it at Amazon.com, in which he talks about his experiences and that he still believed there were gassings. But he himself, although he performed more than 1,000 autopsies using laboratories in Paris to analyze the organs and so forth for traces of cyanide or any other poison, he found nothing. And there are no other autopsy reports either showing evidence of gassings at Bergen-Belsen or Mauthausen or Auschwitz or anywhere outside of the Soviet Union. The Soviets, interestingly enough, claimed to have performed autopsies that had evidence, but all their evidence is so fraudulent and it's so obviously fraudulent that no one
okay.
really takes
Fritz,
it seriously.
We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne. Glucosamine chondroitin. Sea cucumber. Colloidal minerals. Superfam and Super Male Plex. Colon Enhancer. Our top selling liquid. Cal Mag Vitamin D. MSM Sulfur Capsules. And Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com. And just let me share a comment from the chat room. And this is from Noor. She says, and I quote, "Yesterday, a rabbi was pleading to leave rabbinical sex crimes alone because it could only do no good to dig into the past. Will he also say that for the old men they try for war crimes as ferocious Nazis?" Probably not.
Right, that's different. That's different. That doesn't serve their purposes. The Holocaust hoax really is a racist anti-German hoax. It's rather typical, I'm afraid, of Judaism in general. Judaism is basically racism dressed up as a kind of religion. The purpose is to, of course, elevate the Jews as God's chosen people and to denigrate and condemn everyone else on the planet, but especially the Germans. The Germans were a special target of Jewish hatred already in 1933, and when Hitler tried
to... How about 1848?
All right, well, you can include that, too. I don't know very much about 1848. I'm sorry.
Yeah, from 1848 onward, they were targeted.
You mean the Germans for...
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't know much about that. But certainly in 1933, the hatred towards Germany was so intense that people like my parents felt it and saw it on the streets of New York City. Supposedly, there were demonstrations by Jewish accounts of as many as a million people marching to achieve a war against Germany, to bring about a war against Germany, to destroy Germany forever and forever. And they nearly succeeded because they fooled enough American Gentiles to wage this horrendous war against Germany and commit real atrocities against the German people. What America actually did on behalf of the Jews was so vile, so monstrous, that Americans really, in my opinion, should be thankful or should pray that there is no God. Let's put it that way. Because if there is a God, he will be anxious to wreak revenge on America for what it did during World War II. America and Britain, but mostly America, committed mass murder by the most horrendous means imaginable, by deliberately roasting people to death, women, children, babies included, as many as possible, with napalm bombing, incendiary bombing, firestorm attacks, and finally with nuclear weapons. The atomic bomb was intended to be used against Germany for strange
reasons. But they didn't have anything left to bomb.
Well, in Germany, Germany surrendered on May 8th. The bomb was only perfected in the United States by about July.
Right.
But some of the people involved in making the American atomic bomb said, and I have a quote from one guy, said that he only regretted that they didn't have the bomb soon enough to drop it on Germany. That was the real purpose. The Japanese were kind of a secondary issue. Killing and murdering Japanese was not top priority. The purpose was to kill as many Germans as possible.
Right. And if you look at the Manhattan Project and the people who developed the bomb and worked in that project, they were led by Jews.
Right.
It was a Jewish operation from the very beginning.
It was a Jewish project, and you still see hangovers from that. In the United States, you have this Hudson Institute, for example, which is an overwhelmingly Jewish organization that loves to perfect destructive technology for all kinds of purposes, including, of course, the atomic bomb. The Hudson Institute was right next to Columbia University. I was actually in the Hudson Institute while I was a student, and everybody that I saw there was obviously a Jewish scientist, researcher, brilliant guy of one sort or another. And at Columbia University, which had a key role in developing the atomic bomb, many of the top-ranking professors were all Jewish as well. The Jewish connection to the crimes of the 20th century is just intimate. Today, we have a lot of information about the NSA and what it's been doing to spy on Americans and on other people. I have no doubt that every bit of information that Snowden and other contractors were able to get as part of their assigned tasks was also available to any Jewish or Israeli contractor who wanted access. And so we can be quite sure that Israel is monitoring everything that's going on in this country that is of any interest to the Israelis and the Jews and to the Holocaust hate mongers that are out there. So, we're living in a very dangerous world, and it's getting worse, actually, I think, I'm afraid.
So. Right. Well, I had a guest previously, Mark Elsis, who has done this magnificent job of putting together a document. I think it's like a 170-page document on the Holocaust. And he has all these vast, vast number of links. And I think it's fabulous. And I hope that people will look at that document that Mark created, because it links to everything. And if people will look at that and look at your website to corroborate what regarding the supposed gassings, I mean, there's nobody in the world that could possibly believe this hoax.
Let me say a few things. What is this person's name? Mark Elsis?
Elsis. E-L-S-I-S.
Okay. All right. He's unknown to me. I'll look up his website and look at it carefully. One more thing I want to mention. On my website, the logo at the very top of the website shows a corpse in the background. And the corpse is the corpse of someone who died from carbon monoxide. And in that picture of the corpse, you see the intense cherry red coloring that is typical of nearly all carbon monoxide fatal poisonings. Right. It's a very
now,
intense
where
red.
Where did this photo come from?
That particular photo is in the recent textbook of maritime medicine, which you can look at online. It's you don't have to buy it. You can look at it online. I give a page number, but that's changed. They've come up with a new edition of the same book, but the picture is still there at a different page, and it's still typical of carbon monoxide poisonings, fatal poisonings. Many people are poisoned by carbon monoxide, but they don't die, okay? They're merely messed up mentally and disturbed emotionally from the carbon monoxide poisoning. Those people won't necessarily show that intense cherry red coloring. But if you die from carbon monoxide poisoning, in nearly all cases, your body turns a bright cherry red.
What causes that?
It's the fact that carbon monoxide attaches itself to the hemoglobin, and it is in itself a very bright red, and it remains bright red because the carbon monoxide does not pass into the body cells. It blocks the transfer of oxygen to the cells, and that kills the victim that way. But I'm not an expert on the actual toxicology, so I can't give a better answer to your question. But you can see in countless books, in every book on forensic medicine, carbon monoxide poisoning has this very distinct characteristic. I've seen that in every book I've ever seen on the subject. Most books will not have such good quality pictures, unfortunately. But in the newer books that use digital photography to generate the photographs, you sometimes get absolutely stunning, brilliant photographs. The coloring is somewhat comparable to the coloring of a lobster after it's been boiled. It's that intense. So if there had been gassings of people with carbon monoxide or cyanide, you would have had lots of people speaking about the intense coloring of the corpses. In cyanide poisonings, as in executions here in the United States, sometimes the intended victim actually turns red during the execution itself. There are a number of cases, and the links to those cases are on my website as well, where the witnesses talk about the executed person turning red during the actual execution process while he's still alive, okay? And then after he's dead, there isn't usually too much commentary in the way of a description of the corpse, but there is still sufficient evidence to make it clear that in cyanide gassings, you have a similar kind of intense reddish coloring of the corpse. So that would have certainly been something people would have talked about.
Oh, of course, in the descriptions, and they, you know, they say give all kinds of other details about how they, you know, how they marched him into the chamber and the which door opened inward, and
right.
Just all
and
kinds
these,
of ridiculous these, things.
These corpses were all naked, supposedly, so there was, you know, more than enough opportunity for observers, such as the people who worked in the crematorium, to say, oh, yeah, these are typical red corpses of people who've just been gassed. But that kind of testimony is totally absent, except for one strange case of a man named Heinrich Tauber, who claimed to have seen red corpses shortly after a gassing. He also claimed that some of the corpses were green, which indicates that the corpses had been decomposing for several days at the very least. He is a liar for all kinds of other reasons, but he's the only Holocaust witness to anything that you, where you could say the corpses, according to his testimony, were red for any of the German concentration camps.
Okay. Well, that's very intriguing. And you also talk about some of the other methods that they say they used. And, in fact, Dr. Forreson wrote a paper about Auschwitz, in which somebody claimed that they had deported 1,000 Jews from France and that they were gassed in bed. And then we have other people who were gassed in trucks and all kinds of other things. Oh, the other thing I wanted to bring up before we leave the book, the novel, was that this doctor said that they used Red Cross vans in order to transport the gas.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yes, I thought that was very interesting.
Well, they wanted to blame the Red Cross somehow, I think. The Swiss Red Cross visited Auschwitz on several occasions.
Regularly.
Well,
regularly.
Okay, regularly. That could be. I don't know one way or the other.
And they said nothing was going on. They gave them they said that they were, you know, doing the best they could. And I think that they were trying to discredit them by saying that the Germans were using Red Cross vans and trucks.
Right, right. Well, and a relative of mine, an in-law of mine named Franz Boyen, B-O-Y-E-N, was actually a German intelligence officer who had been working on the Russian front, who made two visits to Auschwitz. And on both occasions, he saw, you know, a lot of the camp, not everything, but he said he saw nothing wrong with Auschwitz. And he and I were close enough and open enough with each other. He could have told me any number of things easily enough without, you know, being uncomfortable. But he said on both occasions he saw absolutely nothing wrong with the camps or with Auschwitz. On the second visit, he said he interrogated a Russian prisoner who said, well, the way this war is going, my chances of survival are better than yours. Meaning, you know, his chances as a Russian prisoner in Auschwitz were better than my cousin's chances for surviving as a German officer. And my cousin Franz, I call him a cousin, but he was an in-law, admitted, he said, that he was probably right. But it always stuck with me that there was no reason in my cousin-in-law's mind to embrace this mythology about Auschwitz being some place of immense horror. He saw absolutely nothing like that whatsoever, and I'm sure he would have told me. Now, there are others. Dr. Steglich was a German lieutenant in an artillery battery just outside of the Auschwitz camp, and he visited the main camp on a number of occasions. He never saw anything wrong either. There are a number of Germans who've been there and who spoke about it. John Breyer is a German American who was actually working as a guard at Auschwitz, and he's told me essentially the same thing. Now the U.S. government and the Jews are trying to have him deported from the United States, even though his own mother, John Breyer's mother, was an American citizen, so that America cannot legally deport him the way it would like. But there are a number of witnesses who've emerged over many years who've told a totally different story from the Holocaust story, and they just don't get any traction. You know, they don't get invited to talk on Bookspan TV the way this one Jewish Holocaust survivor was invited just a week ago to essentially lie his head off for the American public. So the truth is there, but it is very carefully and systematically suppressed. But I think we're winning now. And the color issue is enormously important, decisive.
Exactly, exactly. We are going to a quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com. I want to make one more comment about the book, the novel. It says in there that nobody could ever escape, that it was impenetrable. And then I thought, well, what about Dennis Avey? Carolyn Yeager did quite an expose of this guy. Apparently he was a British POW who said that he smuggled himself into Auschwitz to expose the Holocaust. And then he writes this account, and of course he probably made a lot of money and got a lot of publicity about it. And he waited, of course, until he was in his 90s to to publicize this, but anyway, when I read that comment that nobody would could ever escape, and I'm thinking, well, this guy, not only did he escape, but he smuggled himself in.
Right. Actually, it was relatively easy to escape from Auschwitz, and Thies Christofferson, a German revisionist, actually explained to me how it was done anytime anyone wanted to escape. There were two perimeters, security perimeters, in the in Birkenau. A close perimeter, which was just around the barracks area. And during the daytime, the security perimeter was moved outward to include the fields of various crops and work areas where people would, from the camp, work during the day. And at night, shortly after sunset, the outer perimeter would move to the inner perimeter. To escape, all one had to do was get an assignment to work out in a field somewhere in the outer area and hide at the end of the day in a ditch or in a hole somewhere, and they were easy enough to find. And then at night, as the outer perimeter was pulled inward, one would in effect be outside of the inner perimeter and one would be able to run away very, very easily. So Auschwitz,
but wouldn't they have missed the evening meal and their visit to the library or to the theater or to the whorehouse, or wouldn't they have missed the swimming pool and all those amenities?
They would have missed all of that, and then they would have been out in the countryside fending for themselves, perhaps being mugged by Polish workers out in the countryside who were looking for some easy pickings. So it was actually very dangerous out in the countryside unless one had an excuse or could speak Polish pretty well or, you know, make any number of excuses. So the point is, though, that it was Auschwitz was a very easy camp. Other camps, I saw Mauthausen. Mauthausen was like Sing Sing prison, very, very tight, with tight walls with hard, steep walls for security. Mauthausen was a hard prison, but Auschwitz was very different. Auschwitz was comparable to Ellis Island. You know, if you could swim, you could get away from Ellis Island rather easily. So,
Ellis Island or...
Ellis Island in New York City Harbor.
Okay. All righty, we are going to a quick break. I was thinking about the one in San Francisco. All righty, we'll be right back after station ID and a word from our sponsors.